I'm at Bletchley Park at our sometimes monthly meeting of Station X, where geeks come from, well, wherever they want to come from, and meet up and we chat, share stories, share tech, and assist in the amplification of what Bletchley Park is about. I'm in the back room at the post office at the moment because I've been told to hunt down a particular individual who has a really interesting, wait for it, pigeon story. No, believe me, it is interesting. Colin Hill, what do you do here?
I'm a creator of the Pigeons of War and a volunteer.
I remember coming here a while ago and seeing the exhibition on the pigeons' role during World War II, and I could see these little message canisters tied to legs, and I flippantly made the joke, oh, that must have been the first tweet this message carried across borders, many times unbeknown to anybody below, most of the time, hopefully, otherwise they probably would have intercepted them. What were the roles of these pigeons?
To bring messages back, firstly, from downed aircraft, so that the RAF and the Navy could go out and pick the crews up and bring them back so they could go out again. Then they realised that they could be used for SOE carrying, and so they started to drop them with a parachute from planes. And the people would pick them up, keep them for a week, always liberate after a week so that they could come back home, and then another one would be dropped out. But some of the messages they brought over helped immensely with the war, because they were the first ones to bring anything about the V1, the V2, where they were being built. If they hadn't afraid that, you know, that's helped the war quite a lot. And also they brought all the first messages back from the D-Day landings. You know, people don't realise just how much they have done and still doing it now.
That's quite incredible. I'm trying to get the vision of a pigeon with a parachute. I imagine it was in some kind of container, and I imagine that was so that it would land and not try and take off and go straight back home. Haven't pigeons been awarded in the past?
Yeah, during the war, there was, I think it was 47 or 48 Dickie medals awarded, and 32 of them went to the pigeon.
That is amazing. Now, the story I'm particularly interested in is a message has come to light, a message that's been lost for, well, potentially 70 years. Can you tell me how this came about?
Yeah, the gentleman was cleaning out an old fireplace in his house, and all of a sudden a few bones fell out, and so he investigated a little bit more, and he noticed there was a container on one of the legs, bright red. Then he found a part of a metal ring, so he realised then that it was a pigeon, and he basically put it away for a little while. And then a gentleman up here this year came up to me and told me the story. I got in touch with him, and it's all come out now that, you know, the pigeon was on, as far as we know, on a special mission, because the message is all coded. And at the moment it's at GHQ down in Cheltenham trying to be coded.
So this message that was attached to the pigeon, discovered after many years in the chimney, was actually encrypted, and GCHQ are looking at decrypting that right now. Was it usual to encrypt the messages?
No. We've got loads of messages from the First World War and the Second, and all of them are done in longhand. This is the first time that I've ever seen.
And can they date this message?
It's got the date on it. It was the same time as the D-Day landings.
Well, that's very interesting and leads me to lots of questions. Number one, that's almost too good to be true. So could it be a hoax?
No, definitely not.
And number two, I'm guessing there was so much air communication via pigeons around the landings. Maybe it's just one of the many of that day that got lost then. And what could it possibly have been saying, do you think?
Well, it is one that got lost, but it's not an everyday message. All the pigeons, and we've got them from the D-Day landings, they're all done in longhand. These soldiers that were in the trenches or getting out of boats, running up the beach, they wouldn't have had time to sit down and write a secret message. They just basically put down what they were doing and what they weren't.
So this could have been a pre-written message that was carried out, and because the canister is actually red, isn't it? And I know that different colours were used to allocate different things. It could be maybe that the message is actually, you know, the person who would release the pigeon was like, okay, on if this happens, release the red canister. If this happens, release the green canister. Does that sound right?
Yeah, well, no, because mainly the red canisters were to do with the forces behind enemy lines.
Okay, so that's where how you know where it came from.
Yeah, they weren't used for everyday flying. And if you could see the message, it is set out just like an enigma, going in little blocks of five letters in rows. It is really unbelievable.
And I have seen a photograph of the message, and it contains numbers as well, though, doesn't it, which is highly unusual.
Yeah, but there's two numbers at the bottom, which are the pigeon ring numbers. One is 37, the year it was born, and the other was 1940. But I've got books, and we cannot find those two particular numbers in any book. But then we can't never find anything that was ever flown in and out of Bletchley Park.
Right.
So we...
Wow, so this could well be a Bletchley Park bird.
Yep, I really think they were destined to come back here.
Where did it end up? Where was the chimney?
A place called Bletchingham.
Bletchingham?
Yeah.
You couldn't make this up. People wouldn't believe you if you did.
No, of all places to drop into.
So could the pigeon potentially just not be a very good reader?
I think so. It lost its way and got nothing to say where it were going.
It sat there going, oh, I'm in Bletchingham. I'm meant to be in Bletchley Park.
Yeah.
I mean, this is incredibly, you know, it's just such an incredible feat flying those miles as it is. But how old was this pigeon then? It must have been about 9 years old, was it? No.
Well, if it was a 37-year-old pigeon.
Oh, so 7 years old.
Yeah. But if it were the other one, it was quite a young bird.
So how long, you know, what kind of careers do these birds have? How long can they fly these messages for?
Well, years ago, they just kept coming. You know, when you think the war was over a 5-year period, and some of the pigeons were 3 or 4 when they went into service, and they come out the other end, you know, 10, 12, 13 years, they could have carried on delivering their messages.
Hmm. Have many messages turned up years later?
Not like this one, no.
Yeah, not 70 years later.
No, but we do get... I had a lady brought me a message up here last year from the First World War. It had never been... Her father found it in the trenches. Neither of them, you know, she never opened it. He never opened it when he died. It came to her, and when she read an article that we'd got in the paper about the pigeons here, she brought it down from Birmingham. And we stood in the front of where we are now and opened it and read it together. You know, it was unbelievable.
That what was the message?
If I get it right, German troops advancing, waiting for the Somme. Now, what the Somme bit, we're not quite sure. Whether that meant, you know, this was in the Somme or...
Wow.
But two messages were sent and...
So how long had that lain dormant?
Well, it was dated 1918.
Whoa.
And she brought it up here last year. And it had never been opened before.
That's incredible. Oh, wow. I mean, I guess this is, I'm trying to think of a modern equivalent. Maybe sitting on a planet somewhere and picking up a, you know, a mobile phone signal from years in the past.
Yeah.
And here they are sitting around. Potentially, who knows, you may come across a pigeon skeleton with something tied to its leg, because I imagine many, many hundreds, maybe thousands, never made it.
I think a lot of people now will be digging out their chimneys and to just see what is up there. There's got to be many more pigeons around.
But this message is unique in many ways, because at the moment it has GCHQ stumped, doesn't it? Or they've decoded it and they're not telling anybody.
It could be that. I'm not going to commit myself to it. We know they will do it.
Yeah. They must have all of the code books already loaded up onto their machines.
We tried it to see if Bletchley Park could decode it for us, but
it's out of practice.
A lot of work, and the people are no longer with us.
Thousands of women that would do that.
But hopefully we will find out sometime. I think it will be sooner than later. But of course, they won't tell us anything if it is a little bit sensitive.
Interesting. At least they'll say we've decoded it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, that'll be the relief that pigeon didn't die in vain, I guess, in a way as well.
That will convince us, you know, where it got to go. But of course, we've just got to wait and see.
Thank you very much. So this is full time for you, fancying pigeons.
Oh yeah, I am a pigeon fancier. I have been since I was 8 years old. But up at Bletchley Park, just a volunteer's job, and thoroughly enjoy it.
An amazing kind of niche pigeon angle here. I mean, it's just so many people don't know about this, and you're educating them. So thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.